The background for this study comes from the two previous studies that have been reported looking at Avastin in breast cancer. And the first study was a phase 1-2 study from Melody Cobley and George Sledge that looked at Avastin as a single agent in 75 patients with metastatic breast cancer. That study demonstrated that there was some activity with single agent Avastin, although the activity was relatively limited, just under a 10% objective response rate in this group of women who had, for the most part, had a fair amount of prior therapy, but certainly suggested that there was some activity. The next study was the randomized trial with capecitabine, which I think many people viewed with disappointment. That study enrolled women who had had prior anthracyclines and taxanes, the majority of whom, 85%, had had prior chemotherapy in the metastatic setting. And while it did demonstrate an improvement in response rates of about 10%, adding Avastin to capecitabine, there actually was no difference whatsoever in terms of progression-free or overall survival. So a signal that something was going on in terms of the response rates, but not enough to really make any meaningful difference for patients. With that background, ECOG 2100 was presented this year, and I have to say that 2100 was designed before the capecitabine trial results were available. Had they been available, it's hard to know if there would have been a decision to move forward with the study. I think it's very good that the study continued. But the big differences between 2100 and the capecitabine trial were really twofold. One is that it was a different agent, and perhaps even more importantly, the Avastin was given in women in an upfront and a less refractory setting. The results were just reported at ASCO and demonstrated an improvement in response rates of about 14 or 15%, going from a response rate across all of the patients of 14% to 28%, a highly significant improvement in progression-free survival with an improvement of the median progression-free survival of about 5 months. And the preliminary suggestion of an overall survival benefit, although Kathy Miller, who presented the data, was quick to point out that the survival data are immature and we need further follow-up, and the hope is we'll have those follow-up data at the time of San Antonio.
How about side effects and toxicity?
The investigators had defined a set of toxicities that they felt would be unacceptable, and these related to severe toxicities such as grade 4 hypertension or hemorrhage. And in the context of the study, they in fact saw very few severe toxicities. On the other hand, there were toxicities seen. There was some hypertension seen in the group of women who received Avastin, and that needed to be treated. In addition, and although this probably isn't related to the Avastin, there was more neuropathy seen in women who received Taxol and Avastin than women who received Taxol alone. Now, the thought is that that probably arises from women being on therapy longer and getting more weekly Taxol. But I think all of these issues have to be sorted out a little bit more.
Actually, the same thing was combined with oxaliplatin, more neuropathy. Again, right. Same basic idea in terms of colorectal cancer.
You know, I think in fairness, we don't have the full picture of the results yet, both from an efficacy standpoint or a toxicity standpoint. We don't have a detailed list of all of the toxicities. We only know that the study didn't meet the predefined criteria that would indicate that it was too toxic.
Yeah, and I was actually amazed. I had met with Kathy a couple of days before the data monitoring committee was going to be meeting, and I said, well, you know, it's going to be positive. You're going to present it at ASCO. And she said, oh, there's no way we'll be able to present it at ASCO. And of course, there she was.
Yeah. You know, what happened was that the results, I think, were felt to be impressive enough, and they were released to the public because, in fact, they were released to Wall Street, that there was a real push to try to present them at some session at ASCO, and there was the ability to do it at this education session.
I'd like to pick up on a couple of things you said. First, just starting out with single agent Avastin, and you know, I talked to both George Sledge and Kathy, and who had patients on that study, and they've described to me people who had useful responses. Do you think that that's something that's going to be a consideration in the future?
I don't know that it'll be a consideration in patients with refractory disease. I do think that someone needs to do a study looking at Avastin in patients who have had very limited prior therapy to define what the benefit is in that setting. I think most people believe that the greatest impact will probably be in combination with other therapy. But, you know, as an agent that has relatively limited toxicity, certainly compared to many of our chemotherapy agents, I think it's a question worth pursuing.
And I guess the other issue is, are we going to be able to identify patients who are at higher risk to respond? I guess up to this point, we haven't been able to. Any sort of favorite targets or tests that you have in mind that you think might be useful?
Well, I think this is going to become critical, and it's critical both because of the cost of the treatment, but also because, you know, all of these treatments, if you treat enough people, have some amount of toxicity, and you don't want to be wasting therapy. And certainly, if a woman can get by without coming in every 2 or 3 weeks for an IV therapy, so much the better. To date, VEGF expression, VEGF levels have not been terribly helpful, but it's going to be looked at in the context of that trial. I'm really interested to simply see the results of the subset looking at ER positive versus ER negative in the 2100 trial, and I'm partially interested in that because the ER negative group is all a HER2 negative group. And I think it's going to be quite interesting to see how effective the agent is that is Avastin in this group of women with triple negative tumors.
Any predictions?
My own prediction, and this is based on anecdote only, and we will have to see, is that it may be a particularly active drug in this group of women with triple negative tumors. I doubt that that's accounting for all of the benefit in the study, and this is purely a hypothesis on my part, but I'm very, very interested in it. And I'm interested in it partially because this is a group of women whose tumors are particularly difficult to treat. So if we have another agent to add to the armamentarium, it could really make a difference.
What are your thoughts about the mechanism of action of bevacizumab? I've been asking people on colorectal cancer that for 2 years. You know, they kind of give a pretty standard response at this point. I don't know if it's some kind of herd mentality, but in terms of improving delivery of chemotherapy, what are your thoughts?
My first reaction is to say, I really don't know. And, you know, to what extent this is working by inhibiting blood vessel growth, to what extent it's working by normalizing blood vessel growth and function to allow the delivery of therapy to the tumor, or to what extent it's working through other mechanisms, I really don't have an answer. But as with trastuzumab, I think it's going to be very important to turn to our colleagues in the lab to try to have them help us sort out how these agents are working so that we can then turn to people and try to figure it out in the clinic.